Okay, ladies, we are in Mark chapter 11, and I think we're all going to be done tonight with Mark 11. We'll see how well we go here. Now, you remember last week, Jesus went into the temple, but he didn't do anything. He looked around, and we talked at the end of it about how important it was to wait on God. And that if we wait on God, we are going to have miracle after miracle.
Amen.
Amen. God knows what he's doing. Yeah, and the hardest thing for us is to wait on him, isn't it? God, you know, I love your timing, but hurry up. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, and the next thing I want to make sure that you all understand is that God's going to take care of those wrongs that have happened to you. I don't know about you, but I really think sometimes that it's my job to slap somebody. And if you've all been around me enough, you've probably seen me do it more than once. But please understand, Jesus walks in there, and here is a whole group of people that are offending his very house. They are offending his very house. And he has every right to destroy them instantly. And he turns around and he walks out. You know, God says in Romans chapter 12, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will take care of it." We do not need to fight our own battles. Isn't that wonderful? Casey just witnessed that tonight. Yeah, God's going to fight those battles for us. And I'm telling you, we can get ourselves so caught up in the battle, and we don't have to do it. Number one, we can't fight it. We cannot fight it. You know, and when we start fighting it, we're just going to get so frustrated and so upset because it's not a battle that we're supposed to be fighting. So we're out of our creative being anyway. And we're doing things that we were never created to do. It's God's battle, and he will serve justice. And I can tell you, back in, through my life, I have seen that over and over and over again. And there are so many times when I've stopped God from taking care of things because I've gotten in his way. But I'm telling you, the times that I have been able to stop and just let God take care of it, he does it way better than I can. Yes, God has your back. God has your back, and you can take that to the bank. Absolutely guarantee you, God has your back. He sees all those things going on in your life, and he says, "I will take care of it." And here's Jesus, he's seen all this going on, and in his perfect timing, he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. And we can just trust that God will always do that on our behalf. But he wants to do it. He doesn't want us doing it. Okay? All right. Now we are up to verse 20. Verse 12. Yeah, I got a little bit ahead of myself, didn't I? Verse 12. "The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." We talked about that last week. The fig tree is the picture of Israel. And they looked religious. And they had all the religious things going on. And they knew right when to say thee, and right when to say thou, and right when to say praise the Lord. And they knew when they were to raise their hands, and they knew exactly what they were to do. But they had no fruit. They had no fruit. And Jesus said, "You're cursed." You see, he is not the least bit interested in our outward actions. He is very interested on our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And the outward appearance can look wonderful from a distance. It can look like it is just full of everything. But when you get up close and you start dealing with those people, you find out there is no fruit. Yes. But you know, what I didn't, we ran out of time last week. What I want you to understand, and you'll remember this from Galatians, is we cannot make fruit. So if you are trying in your own strength to be loving, if you are trying in your own strength to be kind, if you are trying in your own strength to be patient, you're going to fail every single time, because the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Georgia. It's not the fruit of any of you. It is the fruit of the Spirit. So what we need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And when we get out of the way and let God start doing things, you're going to see all kinds of fruit happening. And all of a sudden you're going to be doing things and you're going to be saying, you know what? Wait a minute, I can't believe I just did that. And the truth is, you didn't. The Holy Spirit did it through you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit did it through you. You aren't doing it. And we have to understand that when we have no fruit, it's because the Holy Spirit is not working in our lives. It is not about me. And I'll say this to you very gently, but it's not about you either. It's about the Holy Spirit. And that is where the fruit comes from. And if you want fruit working in your life, pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your life.
Amen.
Say, fill me up till I'm overflowing.
Yes.
Fill me up so much that there is no room left for me.
Amen.
And then you're going to see supernatural work happening in your life, because the power of God and the Holy Spirit is working.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You see, the reason that the tree looked wonderful on the outside, but inside it was cursed and it could never produce fruit, is because it would not accept Jesus Christ. You know, and there are a lot of churches in this nation that on the outside, oh my goodness, they look absolutely beautiful. They are the most beautiful buildings you'd ever want to see. But that's all you're going to see. You're not going to see anything on the inside, because the Holy Spirit is not working in her. And we do not care so much about appearance. We care about what's on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's a tough thing to learn in this society, because this society is all about how you look. It's all about it. Yes. Yes, but we are fruit producers. We are fruit producers. We turn out fruit. Yes. And that's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Okay? On reaching Jerusalem, he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught them, and he said, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Okay, there's a whole lot right there. There's so much right there. We could probably spend weeks there. I'm going to try and condense it as best I can. But what Jesus is saying, let's go to Isaiah 56:7. It's in the middle of the Bible. If you get all the way to Psalms and Proverbs, you've gone too far. Isaiah 56:7. Do you have it?
Yes.
Okay. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." All right, go to Jeremiah 7:11. It's right behind Isaiah. Jeremiah.
7:11.
Jeremiah is talking here about false religions being worthless. That's what this whole chapter is about, is the worthlessness of false religions. And in verse 11 he says, "Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you?" Now Jesus here is quoting Isaiah and Jeremiah, but you know what he's saying? By saying my house, you know what he's saying? I'm God. Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, to a whole church full of people who do not believe he is who he says he is. And he goes in there and he says, no, my house will be called a house of prayer. My house. You know, it's very interesting when he walks in there. He says, now's the time. I was in here yesterday and I was just looking around. I had to go. Now I am back and I'm going to clean house. He will make sure that the right thing is done. It will be in his timing. Don't ever worry that somebody is getting away with something. They aren't. It's not happening. But the bigger thing is he is claiming here, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. I am God in the flesh. This is my house. Now, that's quite a statement to say to all these Jewish people who do not believe he's the Messiah. And then he cleans house. He gets rid of all those people and he says, you're not walking through my house with that. That's not going to happen. You know, there had to be, theologians say there had to be literally hundreds of these people set up in the temple selling. And yet, here's one man. He turns over a table and another table. He goes through and turns them all over, and not a single person even challenges him. Now, don't you not think if somebody walked in and started tearing up the Dover Mall that there'd be all kinds of men tackling him and saying, what are you doing? But he was God. They were paralyzed. They could not come near. Could not come near. You see, this is my house. And it will be a house of prayer. That's every church that we attend should first and foremost be a house of prayer. No matter what else is going on, we need to make sure our churches are a house of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. That is where our power is. Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. Yes. You want to grow fruit? You need to be praying. But there's more to that than this. You know, your home should be a picture, should be a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. Your homes should be a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. Now, if you need to clean house at home, if you need to turn some tables over, I suggest you get it done. Your houses should be a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. When I was growing up, I was a preacher's kid, you know, and the preachers always kept the missionaries and the evangelists and everybody that came to a special service, they stayed at the preacher's house. Well, my mom had 9, 10, and 11 kids running around, and, you know, we would all be 4 and 5 in a room so the evangelist or whoever it was could have a bed. And it was just known to us that when they came, we would be in church 7 days a week, and somebody was giving up their bed. Well, she was getting ready for this evangelist to come, and he was a pretty well-known evangelist. If I said his name, a lot of you would probably know the name, and our church was very excited, and we were in the midst of a real moving of the Holy Spirit, and we were just so excited about him coming, and my mother went through, and she cleaned the house. She cleaned the house as well as you can clean it with 11 kids running around. But she went in the bathroom and she hung up the most beautiful towels. Okay, you all can appreciate that, right? And then she safety pinned a sign to him that said, "Do not use," because she didn't want to messing up her towels. We had this evangelist coming. So she went through, I'm telling you, this house was looking good. I mean, it was this, I was like, wow, you know, who is this man? So I've told you about him before. You know, I was challenging him as a little girl because I just couldn't imagine how everybody was going to see Jesus return all at the same time, you know. He said, "I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it." And of course, he's with the Lord now, but he's probably looking down and say, "Georgia, what do you think of the internet now? What do you think of satellites now?" They weren't even thought of when we were having this discussion. But we all go to church. He comes home with us, and my mother shows him his room. And we have Sunday dinner. We're outside playing. We're getting ready to go to church Sunday night. And he's taken a long time, and he's taken a long time, and he finally comes out, and we go to church Sunday night. We come home, and we get up, and we're all going to school, and he said, "I'm going to spend some time in my room praying and getting ready for the service tonight," and he doesn't come down. He doesn't come down, and finally, he came down, and he said, "You know, Shirley," he said, "you're so good to open your home up to me," he said, "but I apologize. I didn't think to bring any towels. And you don't want me using the ones in your bathroom." She forgot to take the sign off. And he was drip drying for all of these services because he didn't have a towel. Yeah. That's where I look. I have plenty of towels if you come to my house. I can promise you that.
But we can't use them.
But do you see, she was so careful at cleaning house, but she forgot one thing.
Amazing.
And it ended up really affecting the whole house. And you see, when we start cleaning our house, we got to make sure we don't forget that one thing. That we are willing to get rid of anything that would make the Holy Spirit uncomfortable in our house. Marina.
I just want to share something with you. This happened to me three years ago. I had a family stayed with me for a year. And the situation was her mother, my sister, Elisa Buda. And out of nowhere, the daughter, Sen is her name, decided one day to give a call to this lady that here in Delaware, there is a place where they have their services. And she surprised me. I wasn't expecting that of my niece to do that, especially in my home. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, I mean, I really got upset because now she's taken the level a little bit higher than I thought. And I told my husband, we were talking, I said, what she's going to do next? Have her little altar and start praying to Buddha in my home? I don't think so. So we had a talk with her, and she said, "No, I respect your home. I'm not going to be doing that." But my son got upset with me that I, as a Christian, a religious woman, not allow her to worship her God because we're all serving one God. And he does not believe in the Bible. And so we had a little discussion, a little argument there. And I have decided for me and my house, we worship the hope of God, Him alone, with the Spirit. I'm not going to allow any other idols in my house.
Ladies, you've got to make sure your homes are comfortable for the Holy Spirit. And that's got to be key. Please, you know, that's where your power is. That's where your fruit is. That's where God can work. God can do miracles. God can do amazing things. But He has to be free to move. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Then there's one more temple we need to talk about. I want everybody to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. First Corinthians, it's back behind Acts and Romans. Back behind Acts and Romans. Do you have it? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 16. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. I want you to flip over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your temple. Ladies, it doesn't stop at the church. It doesn't stop at our house. It's right here. And we are to honor our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we destroy that temple, please understand, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He bought you with a price. And that price was the crucifixion. That was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He bought your body with that. And he is saying, honor your bodies. See, it is not a suggestion. This is God speaking to us and telling us to honor our bodies. It is so important that we are willing to do that. Ladies, again, that's where your fruit is. That's where your power is. You see, your power comes from the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not get him upset. He is living there. Your power comes from the Holy Spirit and his welcoming into your body. You see, you all are carrying around the most powerful thing ever created. You know, who was it that used to say, I'm Don Almighty? Who was that? I don't know.
JJ.
Yeah, there you go. What's that?
It was called Good Times.
Oh, Good Times. Okay. Ladies, dynamite can't hold a stick to you when the Holy Spirit is free to work in your lives. There is power there. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, there isn't any other power that's more powerful than raising the dead. So make your bodies a place where the Holy Spirit can dwell. You see, our temple, where we worship. Our temple, our home where we live, our house where we live. Our bodies that the Holy Spirit dwells in. All of them should be places where the Holy Spirit feels free to work and roam in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.